So, who is Rav Kleina Mez Kalman Shapiro, and why are we sitting around and celebrating tonight? It's a very, very short history. The Ish Kodesh was at age 18 already chosen to be the chief rabbi in his town in Poland. He was a rabbi in both Pieśnica and Warsaw, which are two cities right next to each other. He split his time. And that was an incredible honor, which showed that what type of tzaddik he was and what a genius he was. Just to get into his yeshiva, you had to know 50 daf of Gemara cold, like by heart. 50 daf. So he was a genius, and he was a leader naturally. But that's not what made him unique, because there's a lot of amazing rabbis living in pre-World War II Poland. What made him amazing are his Sfarim. I have one of them here, Hacharat Avreichim. The other one that's very famous that the Shanabek guys are learning is Chovat HaTalmidim, right? And that these Sfarim are addressed to youth. The Chovat HaTalmidim is literally meant for kids. And he's telling them how sweet Judaism is. He's speaking to them in a mamish language that they can understand. He's giving them practical tools as to how to grow in Avodas Hashem. Because he saw that his generation, a lot of people are going off the derech. And he says it's the job of the educators to give love of Judaism to the kids. And Hacharat Avreichim is for already when you're a little older and you're a little bit more serious. So hopefully after Chovat, you guys will learn Hacharat Avreichim. It's the next Sefer. And I'm just starting it now, so Bezrat Hashem, we should be zocheh to learn it together. But from the little bit I've learned of the Rebbe, it's just super sweet, super direct, super beautiful psychology and beautiful Hasidus. That's really like it can open up the heart and mind of anyone who learns it. So it's a big schus to learn a little bit of his Torahs. But I wanted to tell you my favorite Torah of the Eish Kodesh. Before we get to that Torah, I'll even tell you how do we get this book? Do you guys know the crazy story of how we found these Sfarim, the manuscripts? So the story is that the Eish Kodesh was hiding and running away from the Nazis, and he hid away his Sfarim because he didn't know if the Nazis got a hold of it, they would burn it. And in the introduction to his Sfarim, he writes that if you find this Sefer, I don't know if there will be any Jews left in Poland. I don't know if there will be any Jews left in all of Europe. But I know that in one place there has to be Jews. Where has there be Jews? In Eretz Yisrael, because it's Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah. So if you find this, please bring it to a Jew living in Eretz Yisrael. And lo and behold, there was a Polish like janitor, and he's walking one day and he slips. And he noticed something under the ground. There are different versions of the story. Basically, he ends up finding this manuscript. He sells it to some guy who ends up happening to be very interested in the works of Rav Kleina Mez Kalman, the Warsaw Ghetto Rebbe. And they end up printing his Sfarim. And in his introduction, he says that anyone who learns my Torah, if you find this Torah and you learn these Torah, I swear that I will beg before the heavenly throne. I will beg in your honor and daven for you. It could be, I'm not sure. Maybe. Yeah, if you say that, I totally believe it. Yeah. So that's what he says. He says, if you learn it, my Torahs, then I'll daven for you. So right now we're going to learn a little bit of his Torahs, and hopefully he'll daven for us. Mitzvah Hashem. Sounds good? Sounds like a plan? And I forgot to mention, of course, the reason he's called the Eish Kodesh is because his most famous work was the Divrei Torah that he would give in the Warsaw Ghetto to strengthen the spirit of the people living in Warsaw in these hellish conditions. And he would each week at Shabbos Shittis, share Divrei Torah, and they ended up writing these Divrei Torah down and publishing it in the name Eish Kodesh, the Holy Fire.
Wasn't there a different name for it?
Yeah, there's a different name
for it. Yeah, a different, less inspiring name for it.
Right. So his publishers call it Eish Kodesh, and that's what he's become known as. So here's a story that Rav Shlomo Karlbach shares, which is my favorite Torah of the Eish Kodesh. So Rav Shlomo is one day walking in the streets of the Yarkon in Tel Aviv. And Rav Shlomo had a talent. And when he saw someone's face, he didn't just see their face, he saw their soul. So on a physical level, this person was a hunchback. And he looked hideous. But on a neshama level, on a face level, this person, he was mama shining. So Rav Shlomo came over to him, and he said, Shulam Aleichem, Rav Yid. And the Yid, who didn't have a keep on his head, who was sweeping the streets, said, Aleichem Shulam. Now Rav Shlomo himself was a little bit of a Holocaust survivor, and he was an expert in all of Chassidus. And he recognized the dialect. And he knew that this is the dialect of a Jew who came from the town of Piashnetza. And Rav Shlomo's whole life, he had been learning and hearing about the Torah, about this Esh Kodesh, about this amazing Rebbe who cared about the children. And he says, are you from Piashnetza by any chance? And he says, of course. And he says, did you by any chance ever hear any Torahs from the Esh Kodesh? Just to say his name is like a big schus. And this guy says, did I hear Torah by him? For 5 years, I learned by the Esh Kodesh. Of course I heard a lot of Torah by him. And Rav Shlomo says, no, can you teach me a Torah? Can you please teach me just one Torah from the Esh Kodesh? So the Rebbe says, the janitor, the holy hunchback says, you think after the Holocaust I teach Torahs? I don't know Torahs anymore. And starts walking away. And now this is when it gets a little deep. Shlomo says, you don't understand. I'm not asking you, I'm begging you. Just one Torah. We all know that the Torahs of the Rebbe, they go super deep. If you learned over with him for 5 years, there must be one thing, something that you remember. So he says, if you're not asking, but you're begging, then it's true, I do remember one Torah. And so he goes like a true chassid, and he washes his hands, he puts the broom away, he puts something over his head. And he says, for 5 years, the Rebbe wasn't just our Rebbe. He was our father, our mother, his mamish, our everything. And when the Nazis, Yimach Shemo, took our parents away, we lived with the Esh Kodesh. And it was Gehenim, but on Friday night we would daven with the Rebbe, and it was Mamish Gehenna Gan Eden. Because we were dancing and singing like nothing else except Shabbos Kodesh. It was Mamish, we forgot about everything else that was happening. And then the Rebbe would take us to his holy Shabbos table. And he would always say a Dvar Torah between each course. Between Kiddush and Hamotzi, between Hamotzi and the salad. Between the salad and the soup, and the soup and the fish, or the fish and the soup, and the soup and the meat, and meat and dessert. There's so many beautiful Torahs. And I don't remember any of them. The Holocaust mamash wiped them all away. But there was one Torah which he would always say between each Dvar Torah, and that I remember. And when he said it, I knew that he was mamish speaking to me. He was mamish speaking directly to my heart. And I mamish never forgot it. He said, Kinderlach, these are Kinderlach. Children, my sweet children. The greatest thing in the world is to do someone a favor. Hey, Kinderlach, these are Kinderlach. The greatest thing in the world is to do someone a favor. And you know, there were times in the Holocaust when the Nazis, Yimach Shemo, they beat me, they took away my parents, they took away my everything. And I just wanted to give up. I just couldn't go on living anymore. But then I remember the Torah of my Rebbe, the holy Esh Kodesh. Kinderlach, these are Kinderlach. The greatest thing in the world is to do someone a favor. Do you know how many favors you can do in Auschwitz? I went over to my friends who nobody wanted to listen with to anymore. And I just cried with them and I hugged them. And I was mamish there for them. And that's what got me through Auschwitz. Every night I would do someone else a favor. And there were times in Tel Aviv, but I just couldn't go on living. My life felt so meaningless. I just wanted to give up. But then I remembered the Torah of my Rabbi. Kindalach, this is Kindalach. Greatest thing in the world, say it with me, is to do someone else a favor. So I'd go to the bars of Tel Aviv, and I would listen to my friends. I would be there for them. That's what's got me through my life, this Torah of my Rebbe. And Gevalt Rav Shlomo gave him a big hug and said, holy, holy hunchback, your mom has changed my life. And every time Rav Shlomo would go to Tel Aviv, he'd always stop by to say hi to the holy hunchback. Sweeping streets of Tel Aviv with Kedusha and holiness. And one day, he heard it was Rosh Chodesh Sukkis. No, I mean, it was Chol HaMoed Sukkis. And he heard the holy hunchback had gone back to his creator. And he said, Gevalt, Gevalt, when Mashiach comes, the holy hunchback is going to teach us to do chesed with love. He's going to teach us to sweep all the streets from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim. He's going to teach the whole world that the greatest thing in the world is to do someone a favor. So my friends, that's my favorite Torah of the Esh Kodesh. The greatest thing, the greatest opportunity in life. Sometimes in life we think, oh, we're doing someone else a favor when we give them a buck on the street or when we clean the base. But the truth is, it's the greatest zechut. Do someone else a favor. The greatest privilege to do a little good in the universe. So let's sing a niggin, one more song, and then talk a little bit more about what does it mean? Why is it that the greatest thing in the world is to do someone else a favor? Let's sing a Shabbos song, because that's what got the holy hunchback through it all. Yeah. 9:27. Okay, so we have 10 minutes. Beautiful. So I just want to talk about this idea of why it is the greatest thing in the world to do someone a favor. So you guys have any ideas? Why is it that it's the greatest privilege in life to do someone a favor? Why is that? Ish, what's crazy? They gotta go to someone a favor. Why do you guys think the greatest privilege in life is to do someone a favor? You guys think? Why did Hashem create us to do someone a favor? Where am I getting that idea from? Oh. Okay. Beautiful. That was exactly what I was going to say. So I once read a book. It's called The Secret. That's what the book's called. It's based on Ashlag Chassidus. And in Ashlag, they talk about this concept a lot. You can actually go visit the Rebbe. It's possible. It's not so far from you. They talk about how, why Hashem created the world. Derech Hashem actually mentions this. Why did God create the world? Because God's a giver. He doesn't need anything, but he loves to give. And so he created us so that he can have someone to give to. Right? You've heard this idea before? So Hashem is a giver. So it turns out that when we give, we are tapping into the Tzalma Elohim that's within us. We're tapping into that neshama, which is all about giving. And this week of Avram Avinu, right, Parshas Lech Lecha, it's a perfect time to talk about this idea of giving. So that's step one. When we give, we're like Hashem, and that's why we're happy. And it's amazing to know that when you give, your brain lights up, and it's the same happiness, endorphins and stuff that you get when you like eat and drink. You get it when you do someone else a favor and you make them smile. But there's a secret. And this is what a lot of people don't know. A lot of people don't know that it's great to give. A lot of people don't know the second part, which is much harder. And the secret is that there are different ways to give. Okay? And not everyone is good at giving in the same way. So for example, you have some people, they love to give tzedakah. Right? They can give money, gewalt. It's amazing for them. But to get them to give 5 minutes of their time and actually be patient with you and schmooze with them, it's very hard. They don't want to give their time. Right? And some people are the opposite. There's some people that love to give to the world, to do outreach and to do chinuch. But to give to their family, they don't know how to do that so much. And some people are the opposite. They love to give to their family, but to give to anyone else who's outside of their... And they have a hard time with that. Right? And there's some people, probably I'd even say most people, myself included for sure in this category, that love to give when it's appreciated. When people say thank you and when it's nice. But they don't love to give when people don't say thank you. And they don't like to give so much when it's forced upon them or when you have to do it. They don't like doing when it's optional. Right? And they don't like giving when it's hard or when the other person doesn't maybe even deserve it. Right? So every person here has what to work upon in giving. But Hashem, he gives in all those ways. Right? Even in me and Donnie have been learning in the Ramak Sefer. What's it called? What are we learning? Talmud Dvorah. How Hashem gives, even when we sin, he's still giving us life. Right? He's giving to us no matter, during the heart, even when we don't deserve it. So the secret is to push ourselves to give even when it's not easy, even when it's hard. Even when to the people that we don't naturally connect to, that we don't naturally love, to give to them too, right? So as we sing one more niggin, maybe we can close our eyes and like meditate as we're singing about one way that we can manifest more loving kindness in our lives in the schus of the Rebbe, in a way that maybe wouldn't even come naturally to us, in a way that's like beyond our kelim, to maybe reach out to that kid who we don't really have so much a relationship to, or whatever. You think in your own way, maybe it's even being kind to yourself, self-love. That's also a type of kindness. But let's try to meditate about a way to kind of manifest this kindness into the world. Sounds good?
Yep.
I'll try to sing an appropriate song. I'm giving that tzedakah to that poor person. We naturally, coming from the Western world, think of it like I'm doing him a favor. When I help that blind person out or that elderly lady, I'm giving them a person. But now, amazingly enough, modern psychology has revealed to us the truth that they're doing us a favor. And one of the greatest ways to be happy is by doing acts of loving kindness. And that actually makes us happy. And that's also true on a spiritual level. And in the neshama level, when I do that act of kindness, my soul is being raised to the highest level when I give that act of tzedakah. And even when I don't respond with anger, when someone's mean to me and I should respond angrily, but instead I hold myself back and act with loving kindness, my soul, Rabbi Nachman says, goes to like the highest levels by overcoming my yetzer hara and acting with that loving, patient, kindness, gewalt. And if you can master this, you're going to be amazing husbands. Because the key to being an amazing husband, amazing spouse, is to wash those dishes without expecting the thank you in return. And to be loving and to not respond with anger, even when you don't feel the other person deserves it, to just be loving for the sake of love itself, for the sake of being a man of integrity who does kindness, just for the sake of being a kind person. So I bless myself, Mamish, mainly myself, and you guys too, that we should, Mamish, manifest a lot of loving kindness this year, be an inspiration. And maybe as a practical way to do that, when you sing V'ahavta L'recha Kamocha every day, right? The Arizal says we should take upon ourselves this mitzvah, V'ahavta L'recha Kamocha, right on, as we're walking to davening, even before we daven, and kind of think of a way to try to manifest love and Bahaftalecha Kamocha and Mamish be the light that the Eish Kodesh wants us to be in his memory. And in Mitzvot Hashem, that's my blessing for you all. Have a wonderful night. I need to run to the bus. But